Good morning. I want to first thank you for extending such a warm welcome to Joanne Lyons last week. She really does enjoy being here. She just feels very comfortable, and she wanted to stay in the Lion Shack. And so we put her out there and got all our stuff in there and said, well, why don't you just go in and get comfortable and then come on over, you know, after you get through and we'll visit. About an hour later, she called and said, I'm not going anywhere. And she was already napping and reading and just enjoying being there. And that's the last we saw of her till the next morning. Well, she needed to rest, and she senses that this is a restful place and a peaceful place to be. So thank you for loving on her and encourage us. And I think the Lord's going to be leading us to participate a little more in World Hope this year. She talked last week about the human trafficking and in Indonesia and in Cambodia, and talked about the ladies that they had helped start mushroom farms and to help them get out of prostitution. And I've already had several people come to me and say, I'd like for us as a church to support that. And someone said, I'd like for the home groups, each home group to sponsor a lady. And then someone came and said, I'd like for the church to sponsor 10 ladies. And so we're going to be praying about that for the next week or so and try to find the mind of the Lord about what our part is to be in there. But if you don't know who she is, if you haven't looked at the website yet on World Hope, get on there. It's World Hope International, worldhope.org, I think. But it's World Hope International is the name of the organization that she started and she's a part of. All right, I want to kind of take up a little bit from where I shared before. You can turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 23. I want to read a few verses. When we talk about integrity, and I appreciate some of you guys doing the homework. You've kind of stolen a little of my thunder this morning, but I'm going to reiterate some of the things that you said, but that's good. That encourages me when you do that. It's easy whenever we think of integrity to think, okay, give me a picture of the things that integrity does so I can do those things and have integrity. We're always looking for a list. We're always looking for instructions. But the thing about integrity, integrity comes from inside. If we don't have a heart of integrity, our actions will be phony, will be pretend, and will be hypocritical. Integrity doesn't need a public opinion poll to know what to do. Integrity doesn't need to take a vote to know what to do. Integrity doesn't have to check the political wind and see which way it's blowing to know what to do. Integrity knows what to do because of a heart that has integrity, that is integrity inside, and from that we know how to respond and how to live in our life. And so as we deal with this, and you're going to find out, I'm going to cover a whole lot more than just the list for a life, I guess is a way to put it. Because I want you to see where integrity comes from. I want you to see why it's important. I want you to see that God has called us to a higher level of integrity than what the world describes as integrity. And trust me, that's a low bar because the world doesn't have much integrity. And we'll talk about some of that in just a minute. And so I wanted you to just bear with me. I wonder sometimes it just keeps going and going and going. I think, Lord, come on, how am I ever going to communicate all this? I have to kind of decipher through it and hear him and what's exactly to share. So if you get to a place and your eyes cross and you wonder, what is he talking about? Stop me, okay? The purpose of this time is instruction. It's not information. Our entire educational system is informationally based and not instructionally based. Instruction shows you where to walk and how to walk in it, okay? And if it doesn't communicate at that level, It's just more religious information. So if it gets to the place that you're saying, I don't see the relevance of this, or I don't know how that plays out in integrity, just stop me, and we'll camp there for a few minutes and look at it. Okay? All right, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. Here he describes a life of integrity. He gives some insight into what a life of integrity looks like. He says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Why? Because that's where everything starts. For from it flow the issues of life. It's not about our behavior. That's the after product. It's about our heart and what goes on in our heart. And he says, watch over your heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your feet from evil. All right? That's a picture of integrity. Now look in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them. How do I know what to do? The integrity of my heart will tell me what to do. If my heart is whole, if my heart has integrity, it will know what to do in certain situations. You may not know ahead of time. You may not be able to plan it all out. You may have to walk into a situation confident in the integrity of your heart, the wholeness of your heart, and trust that in that context, the Lord will show you. See, we not only want to know what God wants us to do, we'd like to know why he wants us to do it. And then why becomes our God? The answer becomes our God. It should be enough that the integrity of our heart guides us, and we can trust that. He says, the integrity of the heart will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. The NIV reads that last sentence this way. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Okay? Duplicity means contradictions. It means doubleness of thought or speech or actions. It is the belying of one's true intentions by deceptive words of action. The opposite of integrity, bear with me, the opposite of integrity is a hypocrite. See? The opposite of integrity is hypocrisy. A hypocrite is not someone who says one thing and does something else. That's a liar. Okay? A hypocrite comes from the Greek word that's used in theater. Whenever they would perform, they would put on this mask, and what they were saying is, this mask is who I am portraying myself. I'm really not this. This is what I am behind the mask. So a hypocrite is someone who holds themselves out as something when in reality they are something else. Okay? The opposite of integrity is hypocrisy. And it says the duplicity, those contradiction, that contradiction of presenting myself as something when in reality I am something else, that's hypocritical. I love this quote by a guy named John Ortberg. He says, human conversation is largely an endless attempt to convince others that we are more assertive or clever or gentle or successful than they might think if we did not carefully educate them. Okay? That means that, you know, you left to your own observation of me, you're not going to think I'm very wise, so I want to convince you that I'm wise. Your observation of me might conclude that I'm not really a spiritual person, but I want to convince you that I'm a spiritual person. I'm going to hold myself out to you as this spiritual person, when in reality, behind the mask, there's something else. And not only is that true about assertiveness or cleverness or gentleness or successful, but we might add wiser and smarter or more connected or more educated or more spiritual or more committed or more innocent or less to blame. And so much of our conversation is trying to present ourselves as something that if just left alone, this person wouldn't recognize that. So I have to point it out to them. Let them know that I'm wise. Let them know that I'm clever. Let them know that I'm spiritual. Let them know that I'm educated. Let them know I have certain credentials. That's hypocritical. That's the absence of integrity. And he says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. False scales. False scales means that we're trying to tip the scales in our favor. See? We can't just say, here I am. Because you might look at this and say, well, I don't think I like that. Okay, let me do something to get you to like me. Let me do something to show you how smart I am. I want to tip the balance just a little bit and let you know that I am more than you might think I am. That's a false scale. That's an abomination to the Lord. Now, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1, he says, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse or crooked in speech and is a fool. And that perverse means presenting something that's not in reality, painting the picture, balancing the scale, or tipping the scale. Proverbs 20, verse 6 and 7. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. This is one of the things that you find about a life that's void of integrity is they're not thinking of anybody but themselves. They don't think their decisions affect anybody. They don't think that their decisions, this is my life, I'm living it my way, it's all up to me, what I do is nobody else's business. Okay? But here he says, the man who walks in integrity is a blessing to his sons. What we do is passed down to our children. And it's important for us to come to the understanding, it is important for us to know that integrity can be imparted to my children, but it is imparted to them not by verbalization, but by modeling, by living it before him, showing them what integrity is about. It also works in the minds of our children. It erodes away at their ability to trust. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Integrity, that's the word. Our country seems to be suffering from an absence or a shortage of integrity. And we seem to be willing to accept it as so. That's just the way it is. Our government and the country suffers the consequences of men who promise one thing to get elected and then fail to fulfill their word when they're elected. And we dismiss that as just politics. We really don't believe that what this guy's promoting to get elected is anything close to what he's going to do when he gets elected. We just accept that. That's just politics. And so we vote for the clown. And listen, most of you don't know whether I'm a Democrat or Republican, so I'm talking about all of them, all right? Both parties suffer from this perspective. It's at the core of the men and women that we continue to elect. Some people will say our government is broken and we need to scrap the current government and come up with a new one. I say to you that the government that we have in our country is the greatest government in the world. The government is not broken, but the men we continue to elect are broken without integrity. And it doesn't matter what system you have, if the men that are running the system have no integrity, what was intended to be realized in the government will never be realized. Okay? We could cite all kinds of examples in the government. But when our congressmen have a designated fund from taxpayers' money to pay accusers off when their indiscretions are uncovered, and we simply accept that as character doesn't matter, you can be sure there's a lack of integrity in the men in our government, men and women. Now, when businesses, when they oversell, overpromise, and underdeliver, we simply brush it off as advertising. Well, that's advertising. I remember when I was a kid watching things on TV, and I was thinking, man, if that stuff really does what they say, you know, if it really is going to heal everybody of everything, why don't they just give it away? If it's that wonderful, and if it's going to do everything they promise, why not just give it away? But we know it was just a promise. It was just an empty promise. It was an oversell. It was an overpromise and an underdeliver. Capitalism without integrity is no less evil than communism without God. When companies have whatever it takes to make a profit, rest assured that a lack of integrity has established a bulwark in our culture. Families are not exempt from its influence. When spouses fail to keep their vows that they make to one another because it's hard. Anybody here been married more than 10 minutes and found out marriage didn't get hard? It don't take long to realize marriage is hard. But in our culture today, the concept is, if it's hard, get an easy one. And so we get another one. And it's easy for about a week. And then it gets hard. And then we get another one. And there's absolutely no understanding of the commitment we made before God and before people standing face to face with Him, that I will honor you, I will care for you, I will protect you, I will bless you till death do us part. Now, a lot of people don't put that in there anymore. But they need to put in there, till I kill you. I mean, but those vows seem to have no meaning whatsoever because it's hard or uncomfortable or inconvenient, or if it just looks better somewhere else. When parents tell their kid one thing and don't follow through, or when they tell them one thing but then model something else in their life, you can know for certain that wears away at a child's sense of security and a child's sense of ability to trust. Because if they can't trust us, who can they trust? If there's not integrity in that father and in that mother, who can they trust? And it makes it very difficult for them to learn to trust God. Lack of integrity has infiltrated the religious system. Adopting the, quote, end justifies the means, or for the ministry's sake, seems to justify doing all kinds of things that aren't really an expression of Christ. But if it increases our numbers, if it increases our budget, then it must be okay. And what we've created looks more like a corporation where numbers and budgets and are priority, or a country club where everybody gets a membership and a vote, or a Broadway production where we come and watch the professionals put on the show. And it looks more like that than an expression of the body of Christ living and functioning under the headship of Jesus. We've compromised. We've lost our integrity. Leaders who are supposed to be honorable and are held out as someone to be emulated and someone who can be trusted violate that trust regularly. They did a survey among Christians, and they found out that 54% of the ones surveyed said that they viewed pornography in the last year. Said that 30% said that they viewed pornography in the last 30 days. They thought, well, we got to get a better group of people, so they picked pastors, did a survey among them, pastors and youth leaders. Well, they found out that 64 of youth pastors and 57% of pastors struggle with pornography either currently or in the past in their life. Compromise. Lack of integrity. And rather than for the church to confront this in love and confront it in grace and bring the problem to light, it's just covered up or ignored. And the leader remains in bondage, and the sin continues to prevail in the system. Integrity is a lost commodity. Now, I said this last week, I don't believe America will ever be destroyed from the outside. I don't believe the church will ever be destroyed from the outside. Jesus promised us that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. So the outside will never destroy it. But we sure seem to be doing a pretty good job of destroying it from the inside out. The Great Wall of China, they used to say it was the only man-made object you could see from space. Well, that's kind of true. If you get a magnifying glass, you can see it. But it's still the largest man-made object in the world. It's 1,371 miles long. Think about that. That's from here to California. 1,300. It's even further than that. Further than that. Maybe even from Orange to California or Port Arthur. 1,371 miles. It was started in 223 B.C., and they finished it in 1644 A.D. 1,900 years. Talk about job security. Look at all the generations that it outlived. The bottom of it is 20 feet across. The top of it is 16 feet across. And it's anywhere between 16 and 26 feet high. And it was built to keep the marauding hordes out of China. Genghis Khan, all those guys, okay? It was built to keep them out. And it did a pretty good job, except for three times. Three times the wall was breached. And every time the wall was breached, it was because they found a guard that was compromised. They built all of it. They took all of this energy and all of this time to build this wall, to make sure that the wall was built with integrity, and failed to build integrity into the guards. And they were invaded three different times because the guard compromised his position and compromised his responsibility. Will be destroyed from the inside, not from the outside. That's why it's so significant to understand that integrity. I can't tell you how many people I find who, I did all the right things, but their heart was double-minded. Their heart was not singular. Their heart was not whole. And even in doing all of the things, I can't tell you how many kids are raised under a very strict religious background and look for the first opportunity to write it off. It's not about teaching them verses. It's not about teaching them to go to Sunday school. It is teaching them to have a whole heart before God. They will take that with them when they leave and not rebel against the restrictions that we've put up, instead of rebelling against the restrictions which we put on. Now, having integrity to prevent the destruction of these institutions is important. But as a child of God, we are called to integrity for a much higher purpose. All right? Now, I want to go into a little bit more detail about the word integrity, okay? Because this is important. Integrity, it is the quality or state of being undivided or complete. The quality or state of being undivided or complete. It means whole. Okay? I'll show you. Steve alluded to this. It's derived from the Latin word integer. We learned that in school. Most of us forgot it, but we did learn it. An integer is a number without a fractional component. An integer is a number without a fractional component. Here's an example of a whole number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, et cetera, et cetera, 20, 40. It's a number that doesn't have a fractional part to it. A fractured number is 1.5, 2.5, 3.75. It is a number that has required the fracturing of another number for it to exist. Okay? 1.5 means there's one, it's an integer, but we're not talking about one. We're talking about 1.5. In order for that to happen, we have to fracture this next number in order to get that number. Okay? So it's a number that's been fractured. It's a number that's been divided from another number. It is a number or thing, an integer or integrity, is a number or thing that is complete in itself. It doesn't need a part of anything else to exist. One doesn't need part of two to exist. Four doesn't need part of five to exist. It exists on its own because it is a whole number. It is complete within itself. It's undivided. It is without fractions. It's not fractured. Fraction comes from the Latin word fractus, which means broken. Okay? You have to break up 3 to make 2.5. You have to break up 7 to get 6.75. But a whole number is a number that exists whole and complete within itself. It doesn't need the breakup of anything else. Okay? Got that? All right. Then comes the word integrate. All right? You're going to see these words later on. Integrate. It means to bring all the fractured parts into a whole. Here's a number that's fractured, and we bring all of the parts. Here's a half. Here's another half. We bring those parts into a whole number. So we are integrating these parts in order to make a whole. Okay? Now, here's another word. Disintegrate. Okay? For something to be disintegrated. Here's what that means. To break or separate into smaller elements, smaller parts, or particles. It means to destroy the unity or integrity of something. And we use it, you know, when we blew that building up, it just disintegrated. But what happened? The whole building became a bunch of little pieces. Okay? It was disintegrated. As a whole building, that building had integrity. But because of something acting upon it, it disintegrated that building, and all of that, what made up the building, become parts and pieces and fractions and broken. So when something has integrity, it is complete and whole within itself. It's not fractured. There's no fraction or any other element. It is pure. Here's the thing about it. We talk about gold and silver being 99.9% pure. That's not pure gold. Pure gold is 100% gold. Okay? That means that when you weigh what's in there with gold, it proves to be gold. It's pure. It's whole gold. Gold, that is gold that has integrity. Doesn't have a part of it is dross. It doesn't have a small percentage or a small fraction of it that's dross. It's pure. So you can take the word pure, you can take the word whole, and use all of those to describe integrity. Pure. Building. They measure buildings for structural integrity. Here's what that means. Structural integrity means to hold together under a load without breaking, deforming, or becoming fractured. All right? It's a building that will hold together regardless of the pressure that's applied to it. And whenever you see a hurricane that comes through or a tornado that wipes out a building, you can see the integrity of that building was compromised. The foundation of that integrity, the pressure that was brought to bear on it was greater than the foundational integrity, the building integrity, the structural integrity. It could not withstand that much. And they Engineers determine what's the structural integrity of a building. How much can it take? How much can it stand? How much can it withhold before it breaks up? It means that it will perform its design use. Without structural integrity, a building cannot accomplish what it was designed for. Okay? So every building has integrity. Well, why do you check the integrity of a building? Well, what's the purpose of this building? Well, the purpose of this building is to have people in it. It's to have people through it. And they want to make sure that the integrity of this building is such that it's going to be able to hold up to a tremendous amount of pressure to do what it was intended to do. House people. If the structural integrity is compromised and it collapses or falls in, it's not doing what it was designed to do. The integrity has been compromised to it. So it means something that will perform its designated or its design use. Now, can you understand how integrity is everything? Without integrity in a building, it doesn't matter what kind of paint you use. It doesn't matter how many decorations you put in it. It doesn't matter what your curtains look like. It doesn't matter what the carpet looks like. It doesn't matter how fancy it is. If the integrity is compromised, that building can collapse and cease to do what it was designed to do. A building wasn't made to put curtains in. I know, ladies, that is just shocking. Okay? A building was a home, a house wasn't made to put carpet in. A house was made for people to live in. Everything else is extra. If its integrity is compromised, it doesn't matter what kind of carpet you got in it. It doesn't matter what kind of curtains you've got in it. It doesn't matter what all of the extras are because the integrity of the building has been compromised. The same is true of a life. If the integrity of a life is compromised, makes no difference how they've presented themselves, makes no difference what they've accomplished, makes no difference what they've done. And that's the thing, you know, a lot of, when you're in college, you're required to read all these books about these perverts and about all these guys. I mean, they are. And I'm telling you right now, you don't have to read the book. All you have to do is look at the life of the author. It'll tell you everything you need to know about the book. And read it with caution. Because his life is a reflection of what really was there. And he had no integrity. All right? A life is the same. It doesn't matter what the external is. What matters is that it does. What matters in that life is that life does what it was created to do. And without integrity, it cannot do what it was created to do. Can do a lot of things, surface things, but it cannot accomplish what God created that individual to do. All right? To understand the concept of, what time is it? Okay, give me five more minutes. To understand the concept of integrity in a life. Okay, I don't want to get too far into this. Here, I'm going to give you a preview here. To understand the concept of integrity in a life, you have to understand that God is integrity. He doesn't have integrity. He is integrity. He is integrity. He is whole. He is complete. He is without fractions. For a life to have integrity, it starts there. God is whole, he is complete, he is undivided, and without fractions within himself. Everything about God is integrated into the one. Now, they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus answered this way. He said, the foremost is here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Right? Now, when he could have used a lot of phrases, but he said, the Lord our God is one Lord. He used an integer, a whole number, to describe God. Okay? He's not just describing God as one singular. He is describing God's nature and his character. He is one. He is whole. He is complete. He's not just the only God there is, but everything about him is God. There's not part of him that's God. Every aspect of him is God. There are no diffractions. There are no divisions. There is no change. He is holy God. W-H-O-L-L-Y. He is holy God. Remember the definition of integrity? Quality or state of being undivided or complete within itself. God is whole. God is integrity. Listen, God doesn't do things because they're right. God does what he does because he has integrity, and therefore everything he does is right. He didn't have a list to go by. What am I going to do? Well, I need to look at this. I need to see here. How am I going to do this? He is whole. He is integrity. He is singular, and every single thing about him is God. And it is important that we understand, if we want to walk in integrity, we've got to grasp that concept. God's whole. God's complete. Where does he live? He lives in me. He lives in me. Where am I going to find integrity? He is whole. There's no change with him. There's no convincing him to change. He is complete. And everything he does is an expression of God. He is integrity. It's important that we grasp that, because out of that comes his purpose for us. Okay? Out of his completeness, he includes us in his purpose, and we'll see what that is hopefully next week. All right, any questions? You got something to think about for the week? It's too hot in here. Y'all are half asleep, I can tell. It's just too warm. Okay? All right, anybody got any questions? All right, homework for next week. Go back to integrity. Go back to integrity. Probably, I don't know about next week. I don't even know if there'll be anybody here next week. But next time I share, it'll be on integrity. All right?